two Bulgarians acting like they didn't just come in together. They're with you.
You have just tuned in to Remote Control here on the Geekcast Radio Network. This is episode 34, where I, TFG1 Mike, and DJ Valentine from Simplistic Reviews take a look at Counterpart Season 1, Episode 2, in our 10-week-long coverage of the new Star series, Counterpart. And now, on with the show. Hello and welcome to Remote Control. This is episode 34. I'm, of course, TFG1 and Mike. Joining me is DJ Valentine from Simplistic Reviews. Hello, sir.
Hello. Or is it DJ Valentine from Reviews Simplistic? I don't know. This is like I'm the opposite side of the coin. I don't know. I could be DJ Valentine. I could be Valentine DJ. You have no idea. It's Counterpart, man. I could be two different versions of myself at the same time, at once.
Yeah, if you were Separate. Valentine DJ, I'm pretty sure you'd be Samuel Jackson and what's his name from the Kingsman would try to kill you or something. I don't know.
Where is my super suit?
No, he's Frozone, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Oh boy, that's typecasting. I love that movie. I can't wait till the sequel comes out.
I'll be pushing children out of the way so I can get to the first one.
That's right. And we are here to continue our 10-week, this is week 2 out of 10, for Counterpart, the new Stars series. And wow, what an episode.
I'm convinced that this is just some sort of passion project to convince people that J.K. Simmons is a badass. J.K., we already know you're a badass. The show is totally unnecessary, but great regardless.
Exactly. Like, we've known this for 16 years alone, if not...
You're J.K. I know. Side, we love you. Come on. It's not necessary. But man, the way this first episode... the second episode starts is... I'm like going in, I'm like, I hope it doesn't like... Don't have the sophomore slump. Don't have the second episode, you know, boringness. And the first scene is so dope. It's so awesome. And it just starts with a line, which is, I just want you to know I'm unarmed. And when that happened, I was like, oh, there's some shit's about to go down.
Okay, it's J.K. Simmons. We're going to gush about him. We gushed about him last week. We were going to gush about him this week and for the next 8 weeks after this.
You'd be after that.
Even so, absolutely. If the show gets picked up for a second season, which at this point, why wouldn't it? But for me, like, yes, it's J.K. Simmons. Yes, he has a voice like Silk kind of thing. And I didn't even need what he said. All as I needed to know was he was putting in earplugs. That's it. I figured some shit was going to go down because... He was putting in the earplugs and, you know, they did that whole background noise thing. Like, we actually wore the earplugs with him. We had J.K. Simmons earplugs in our ears. And I was like, whoa. And then I'm like, muzzle flash, whoa, he just, wow.
That's a very good example of storytelling visual storytelling. He doesn't say, I'm going to go outside and kill your guys. He goes, I'm unarmed, which is essentially telling his wife, you know, I'm more badass than anybody you're going to send here. I don't need it to be armed to take out any number of people you send me. But I want you to understand that I'm going to do that, and I'm doing it without a gun. And then you put the earplugs in where you're like, okay, somebody's going to get shot or some gunfire is going to go off. And then you see him give the glance to the pistol in the guy's coat, which essentially is amateur hour compared to J.K. So it's just like such good storytelling without him having to spell it out. It was just so good. And that's the opening freaking scene of the show.
I know. So, yeah. I know. And yeah, I was really worried if it was going to have the sophomore second episode slump kind of thing. Because most, not Stars or HBO or that kind of thing, but most general broadcast or even some of the cable network shows will have a pilot or a premiere kind of a thing. It'll be rock solid, and then they come back 6 months later or whatever it is, and it's meh. You know, this, oh no, this went in a direction I wasn't sure. Like, the greatest thing about this television show at this point is I have no idea what's coming next. I don't, like, I have, obviously, I have Stars. I pay for it, yada, yada, yada. I see all the ads on the on-demand stuff for the other Stars network and the other Stars shows on the network and stuff, but, like, I'm not seeking out a next promo like I do with The Flash or Supergirl or Legends or whatever. I would just, okay, that was the episode. Holy shit. Next Sunday, hurry the hell up and get here.
I mean, I think I used to do that with Justified, where I was like, all right, let me just go into the next episode cold. And you know, this one, they could almost, I mean, I think the best show that ever did like on the next blah 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 was Mad Men, because it would give you all these like out of sequence clips where it'd be just like, what? But it would, once you watch the episode, you get it. But here, I don't even need to just, because this world is essentially just being built in front of us, these two worlds essentially, it's I don't need a teaser or anything like that. I just want to just, I want to know where these guys are going. And again, I was very, you know, I'm still on the fence about the bad J.K. Simmons.
Yeah.
What's his character's name? I keep
Howard
forgetting.
Prime.
Howard. Bad Howard. Because at first I was like, okay, he's lying about his wife. He's still lying about his wife, but he's lying about his wife for different reasons than what we had suspected.
Right.
So it's like, I want to like him because he's such a badass, but I can't trust him at all. And essentially, what I think good Howard kind of gets to the crux of in this episode, that seems like bad Howard's trying to reshape good Howard to
Into
be like
himself, yeah.
into himself, which is like, oh, is that a bad thing? Is it a good thing? I'm conflicted. I don't know. And I think a little bit of that comes out in the end of the episode.
When Bad Howard just opens his mouth, because he is the blunt instrument that is J.K. Simmons, whereas good Howard is kind of like the timid, concerned, fatherly type Howard. When Bad Howard opens his mouth, I know shit's gonna pop up. Like, anytime he says the F word, I'm like, oh my God, like, that's the greatest thing in the world. Like, the whole exchange between them in this episode about, like you were saying, where Howard's like, don't turn me into you or whatever it was that he says. I actually grabbed the clip. It'll be in the episode here somewhere, folks.
There's too much that I can't control over here. Aldrich, obviously, for one thing, is a fucking liability. If I'm gonna do this right, I need your help. My help. Yeah, I'll talk to Quayle. Get you transferred to Strategy, where you can be useful. You want me to spy for you? Why am I a part of this? You demanded that I be there today. I don't understand why I'm involved in any of this. I don't know, Howard. Maybe I'm trying to help you. And why is my perceived well-being so important to you? A few days ago, you were nothing. A flatliner. Sleepwalking. Look at you now. Do me a favor. Stop trying to make me in your image. Where are you going? I'm going where I've gone every evening for the last 6 weeks, to the hospital to see my wife.
Oh my God. Just wow.
I didn't, I kind of knew that's what he was doing, but I didn't really know that was it didn't like click for me, where I was like, okay, maybe he's trying to help him out because he's him. And then good Howard kind of actually underlines the point. He's like, no, he's not just helping me out because I'm him. He's trying to make me him. And I was like, oh, wow, that's even more interesting than I even, you know, my subconscious brain could even wrap its head around. So, yeah, it's really good stuff going on between the two J.K. Simmons.
Absolutely. It's kind of, this whole episode with the two of them, the other part of the episode with Nadia and Baldwin, we'll
Yeah,
talk about
right.
in a minute, but this episode with them, as you're saying that, the first thing I think of is what's the name of what the hell's the name of that stupid two-parter? A Brave New World from Justice League.
Oh, right.
Where Flash was like, "Oh, I thought you were him, the other Batman." And Kevin Conroy as Justice Lord Batman is like, "I am him." And I'm like, that's exactly what this is right now. This is J.K. Simmons disguised as two different Batmen.
I mean, I don't. On top of that, other than JK, I had low expectations on the assassin girl. Her name is Nadia?
Baldwin.
Baldwin.
The assassin's name is Baldwin. Her real name is Nadia, and that's the two doubles.
Right. I didn't. I mean, her in the first episode, they play her, and essentially because the first episode is through all the information given to you by Bad Baldwin, she seems like this cold-hearted, La Femme Nikita-esque just assassin. And in this episode, you realize, she's not, because we're out of Bad Howard's perspective. We're seeing that she has, feelings, and she's doing whatever she's doing. It almost seems like it's reluctant reasons. And and we knew we were gonna get a sewing of the face scene
Of
because
course.
she got shot in the face. How does
She gets shot in the face.
she
I
has the
mean,
she has the prettiest gunshot wound to the face I've ever seen.
yeah, pretty much.
She should have no teeth in her mouth but
Yeah,
let's ignore that part.
we'll ignore that part. It's okay. Yeah, no, like, I mean, what's gonna happen next? Nicolas Cage and John Travolta show up and, have a
Oh, I'm gonna
face
take his
off.
face off.
That's right. But yeah, no, like, what I learned from this episode and what I'm loving about this show isn't that we ha like Howard Prime explained to alternate Howard of why the real not reality, why the world split, why the timelines are the way they are, why there are two different
Right.
worlds now. He explained that. And I'm fine with that explanation for now. Like he said in that explanation, I'm sure someone out there knows the answer as to why, but I don't know it, that kind of thing. But what I like about them saying that now is if we're going to continue to see doppelgangers and doubles or two of the same person, not just the Howards, but others like Emily, obviously, one Emily's, cancer, all that. But with the Baldwin Nadia thing here. What I got out of it was it's basically it was one person, an event happened in their life right when this split happened, which split their personality.
Right.
Like
I mean, well,
they're
they had
the
the same experiences, and
exactly.
once the split happened, they take their same experiences, and then they have new experiences. But the foundation of or is the same experience. And if we want to get into prediction
Okay.
stuff here about this split world and kind of what's going on behind this, and I think it's tied into the intro in something they showed in the first episode or the title sequence. One, I think the split is temporary. I think
Okay.
this whole show is going to be based on one world trying to conquer and be the take over the second world because there can only be one world. And if you watch the intro and you watch the first episode, that Howard plays a game called Go. Go is a game where players use two similar but differently colored pieces to create and acquire more territory than the other player. The two players here are the two Earths, or Earth
Yeah.
1 and Earth 2, likely vying to acquire the same territory. So I think when we get to it, I think Bad Howard's, this again, this is me predicting, I'm not sure. I think that the split is temporary. Maybe the people on Earth 2 know that, okay, eventually one Earth is gonna disappear, and we're not gonna be that Earth, so we have to acquire the territory. That I think would make it really interesting. I could be completely wrong. I just when the intro, if you watch the title sequence, it's all the Go pieces moving around the board.
Yeah.
So, but it could be something else. I have no idea.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that because I had no idea what that game was. It's kind of like
Yeah,
a it's kind of like a mixture between checkers and Risk.
it was in the movie Pi, Darren Aronofsky's Pi,
Okay.
and they were using it for this plot reasons. But I mean, I've seen it in a couple other movies, but I think it's also in Beautiful Mind, I believe. But yeah, I kind of had to look it up to see what the fact that there were I didn't really, because Howard plays it in the beginning in the first episode, and I didn't really pay any mind. And then I noticed in the second episode that it's used as the title sequence, And I looked up the rules of the game, and I go, acquiring territory. This seems like two worlds playing against each other. So it must be something where one world wants to take over the other. I don't know if it's because the split is temporary. I think it's because the split is temporary. But even if it's not, they might want to just eliminate all doppelgangers so there is only one. Because I don't think if there is a government, they want to have two of everybody walking around at the end of the day.
And the fact that you have two different sides of the government, like the Retrieval and what was the other one? It's
I forget.
Research and something, yeah.
Yeah, the one that Howard, Good Howard was in before, right? And the strategy and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Like, how both sides of that are playing it and, you know, like I said earlier, I was surprised that it didn't do the second episode slump, but at first I thought it was going to because of this whole other side to the assassin kind of thing.
Right.
But we see that we see why they did this way, because she's not just the assassin. She was that little girl. She could have been that
violinist.
And yeah, I mean, this episode just wasn't as much action
except for the first part.
Yeah, except for the first part, but I'm saying, like, because it was more story this time, and that's right. Not bad. That honestly is not a bad
thing. They also introduced an actor who I have loved since V for Vendetta, Stephen Ray, who plays Alexander Pope, who essentially is Bad Howard's handler, I think. He's kind of like the guy he meets in the church, and he has the dog, and he's a great actor. And he seems very playful, where he... Bad Howard's wife is kind of trying to get information out of him, and Bad Howard's reporting to him, so he seems like he's one of those players where he he's one of those power players. He knows a lot more that's going on than everyone else, which I like. And you know, the whole little bit with his dog pooping in the church I thought was pretty funny.
That was funny. Was there anything out of here that you want to see more of, want to see less of?
I want to get more. I really like what they did with Baldwin's character. We're explaining her taking off her shoes. I like that part. I want to see less of the... I kind of want to see Bad Howard get rid of this guy from Blacklist. Caused the other Baldwin, spoiler alert, to get shot. I'm not sure. He says she's dead. I kind of want proof of that, because they cut away and she got shot kind of in the shoulder.
Yeah.
So I don't know. She could be dead. I just think that's that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But it's to make that guy seem like a dick, which he is.
I guess
I was kind of upset that they kind of made Good Howard just for some reason punch the other guy. And I know he was kind of like, you know, he really was taken by the good Baldwin. But it seems so out of character for him. But it plays on the fact that bad Baldwin is trying to turn him into a more aggressive version of himself. So it caught me off guard. Like, I don't know if good Howard would be punching anybody that quick. Not in like 48 hours. I don't think that would happen. But I mean, it's J.K. Simmons. He makes it work, so... But yeah, more of the I want more Stephen Ray, Alexander Pope, the wife, Olivia Williams. She's doing pretty good. I love how she gets the psychological exam or whatever by the guy from Captain America, Kenneth Cho, and the girl is sitting there. She just tells her to fuck off. I thought that was great. But everybody seems to be hitting their stride in this show. There's not really any weak parts for me, except for the guy who's a dick, who I think Bad Howard essentially is just going to eliminate. Or maybe Good Howard will eliminate him. Maybe they'll both eliminate him, because he essentially seems to be the obstacle in Bad Howard's goals. So. Yeah,
pretty much. And the whole thing of, like, they're at the end there, they're like, oh, why did you let the police, of all people, get a hold of another site or another world or whatever they call them or whatever we're going to call them? Like, oh, we shouldn't have let that happen. Yada, yada,
defector,
yada.
So, I think they're called. Or,
defector. And, you know, so the police now have Baldwin, and it's like, I wonder what's going to happen next episode. I can predict, like, a police station breakout or something. I don't know. Like, and what's funny to me is how they frame. Not, it's not funny, but it's. It's funny slash interesting how they frame the show's story timeline. Like, in this, or, yeah, it was this episode. It wasn't the last episode, it was this one. Bad Howard got a longer visa. He got a 36-hour visa.
Right.
Like, I assume this all takes place within that time, because he didn't have to go back again at right. the end of this. So I'm assuming that one episode, a day and a half, or whatever it is, you know, okay, sure, cool. I'm not saying I want to know more about that either way. I'm just kind of wondering how, like, if he's got 36 hours, which essentially is a day and a half, then that doesn't leave a lot of time to do. I mean, they get a lot of time, they get a lot of stuff done while he's there, but, like, that's one thing on the story end that I'm hoping that not necessarily they improve upon, but they kind of show us the time frame a little more, maybe.
And the way he used it to, the way he gets the visa, it seemed like he was using a false identity. Like, I don't know, maybe he has a limited amount of times he can go over. Yeah. They're kind of like not giving us the whole story yet. It seems one thing that I get from this, it seems like the Earth that Bad Howard is from knows a lot more than the Earth that Good Howard is from.
Yeah.
seems like they're way more, not way more advanced, but this transferring of people seems more of a one-way street than, like, you know, good people, the Good Howard side, or people going to that side. It seems like it's more Bad Howard side coming to our, you know, Good Howard side. But it's what they're showing us. But again, there is something coming with that whole goals of what's happening. I think that the Bad Howard side is doing something to try and eliminate the Good Howard side. It's just something in the conversations that I was hearing from even the Bad Howard's wife and the Alexander Pope and the church. It just seemed like they are planning something that the other guys, where Good Howard is, have no. Either don't know or are very secretive about, so I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a good and a bad thing. I honestly don't know how to, or how I even could predict what the hell is going to happen out of this show, because it, so far, it is so cool just to see the events unfold as whatever they may be from these writers and these creators. Mm-hmm. And again, as we said last week, as we'll say this week and the next 8 weeks, it's J.K. Simmons. I mean, you know, that's like, you know, saying, you know, today was a day. I mean, this is, it's J.K. friggin' Simmons, for crap's sake.
If he's
and
the
it's
pilot
two
of your
it.
Aircraft, you're fine. if your main star is the caliber of a J.K. Simmons, he's worth the price of admission. He's worth the time to put in, where I will, like, well, I may not know what's going on, but it seems really cool, and I have a phenomenal Oscar-winning actor to guide me through it. I mean, I'm in all the way, unless something really dumb happens where I'm just, and I can't see it happening, because at the end of the day, you still have J.K. Simmons to fall back on. I don't think I'm leaving this show anytime soon.
Yeah, no, and as long as, you know, I don't think Stars will do this. I don't think the people over there would do this. As long as you don't let, you know, Orsi and Kurtzman anywhere near it, it'll be fine. I mean,
you sound a little bitter there, man. Are you okay?
They might have been fine, you know, 17 years ago on Alias, but ever since that damn Star Trek movie and those damn Transformers movies, like, ugh. But yeah, Counterpart, folks, as I said last week, we have kind of really spoiled the hell out of the plot, but we're going to do that anyway. But if you haven't watched the series, if you've just listened to these episodes, first of all, stop this already. If you hadn't already, go back and watch the show. This show, I don't care what else comes out on television this year. This is probably my best new show of 2018, and it's only two episodes in. It can only get better from here, in my mind.
Right. I mean, we've talked about some of the plot stuff, but I still think we haven't really spoiled some of the stuff. And a lot of the espionage stuff is cool, but you're really there just to see J.K. interact with himself.
JK, yeah. So,
I mean, we haven't really, there's nothing we can say that's going to spoil that. You got to see it for yourself. So, absolutely. I would recommend watching it still.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of another Justice League episode, Once in Future Thing Part 2, Time Warped, when old Bruce Batman and young Bruce Batman were in the same, and Batman Beyond Terry McGinnis is like, Bruce Wayne, Batman, Batman, Bruce Wayne, or have you met? It's kind of the same damn thing here. It's like J.K. Simmons. J.K. Simmons. That, oh, my God, yes.
Is that the episode where, spoiler alert, they reveal that Terry McGinnis is, spoiler alert, a his clone son. Of Batman?
Yeah, it's his son. Yeah. No, that was not that episode. That was later. That was epilogue. Once in Future Thing is the two-parter where David Clinton finds a way to go back in time and change everything, and I'll point it out to you later, but it's a really cool, fun episode of that show. But the counterpart, folks, I don't even know what my counterpart would be like. Like, DJ clearly has his in mind, obviously, but no clue on mine. I'm sure mine would be,
yes, they deserve to die, and I hope they burn in hell. That's my counterpart, my Samuel Jackson counterpart.
Oh my God. From a super suit to burning in hell. Great.
A Time to Kill, Incredibles. They're the same movie. Come on.
It's an incredible time to kill, folks. Now that's a movie mashup. Counterpart, season 1, episode 2. I give it a 4.5 out of 5.
Yeah, I mean, the intro got me. I mean, it sucked me in, so I'll probably give it a 4 out of 5. I just want more of the information. They're keeping it so close to the vest of this world-switching thing. I want to know more. Give it to me. So I'll give it a 4. But the opening scene is awesome.
Yeah, that opening scene is epic. See, I like that they're like, I agree with you. Yes, I want more. Feed me more. Yes, I know. But
greedy.
Exactly. We are greedy TV bastards here. But it's one of those things where it's like, at the same time, I'm glad they haven't thrown all their punches. In 10 episodes, they can look at what. You're going to love this, and we're going to end up on a whole other tangent, but look at what Mr. Robot did in 10 episodes. I guarantee you, this show can do that and more in their first 10.
That's true. That's very true.
So,
I don't understand how we can be... I mean, is your world really that different from mine?
This is really not a conversation you want to have.
Okay, like 30 years ago, when this... door portal was discovered. Not discovered, that's imprecise. Discovered implies there were always these two realities. There was one reality, and then it duplicated. Nobody knows how. Well, maybe somebody knows, but they're not telling. Look, think of it like this. Up until 30 years ago, there was just this. Then this happened. Then this. Now, we're like two people, two completely different paths.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spots sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
All right, folks, short, sweet, to the point. Most of these episode reviews are going to be short, sweet, and to the point, under 30 minutes, or your pizza is free. Actually, it's still at the store, but sorry, I've been doing 90s recordings where I'm advertising them as 30 minutes or less kind of a thing. The old pizza jingle thing. Counterpart, folks, Stars, go watch it. Seriously.
Avoid the Noid. Avoid the Noid.
I mentioned the Noid to Steve Megatron. He's like, who? What? I'm like, yeah. Really? Seriously? You not know the, like, wow. Yeah, okay, avoid the Noid.
Some people were born after the Noid existed. It's okay.
It's okay. Yep. You can find us at Geekcast Radio on Twitter. I am at TFG and Mike on Twitter. You can visit at Geekcast, or not at, www.geekcastradio.com for this episode and all of our other podcasts, including Cinema Geeks, Talking in Circles, The Pullbag, Tooncast, all that kind of good stuff. You know, movies, TV, cartoons, whatever. We've got it all over there. You can check out Altered Geek with Steve Megatron and all that stuff. DJ, where can the people find you online, Twitter, and that kind of stuff?
My personal Twitter is trying to be DJV. My show, Simplistic Reviews Podcast, their Twitter is at Simple Tweeters. You can also follow all of our stuff. Search www.simplisticreviews.net or iTunes under Simplistic Reviews. We're everywhere, even the dark web.
I don't want to know.
I don't want to know either. I don't know how we got there, but we're there. Yeah. I have no idea.
By the way, do or do not, there is no try.
I'm not going to touch that one. I'm not going to touch that
one. I pity the fool. Sorry, folks. Inside jokes, you'll never get it. Mm-hmm. All right, check out Counterpart. We hope you're enjoying our little episode reviews here on Remote Control from the Geekcast Radio Network. Keep surfing those channels, folks, and we'll catch you next week for part 3 of our Counterpart coverage.